everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. It is playoff time. I have our original crew. We got a full crew here for
it
the first time.
It comes full circle.
In like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably,
it's probably
like,
since week one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close enough. Close enough. We have Matt Wixon.
Hi, Mike and all. How are you guys?
And Avi Zalin.
Hey.
And Jumpin' Joe Hoyt.
Hi.
He's back to jumping.
Back to I just like jumping, so I had no other adjectives for you guys, but I just
that's like a good like 30s baseball nickname.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's Jumpin' Joe Hoyt to bat against some mustached man. Because everybody in the 30s who was a pitcher
smoking a cigarette while he pitches
and drinking a beer, as he should.
All right, that was Avi's corner. Let's move on to high school.
I think we should stay in that corner. And nobody puts Avi in a corner anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to high school football. As usual, that's what we like to talk about here.
Yeah,
that's what we are.
Do.
We have reached the
talk
playoffs.
About my weekend.
We have reached the playoffs. We had quite a few teams get in on the final week. You had Euless Trinity, you had Mansfield Lakeridge, you had Rockwell, you had Mesquite Horn, you had Duncanville, you had others. Just through, after all those, which team that just got in do you think could make the biggest run here?
Oh, good question. Well, I think Lakeridge has a chance. I think anybody coming out of that district, right now, Waxahachie could beat teams.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them in the 5A playoffs. I think all those teams in 10-5A are pretty scary, tough to bring. I mean, think about Lancaster, Mansfield Legacy, Lake Ridge, and who am I forgetting?
Timberview?
And Timberview.
Yeah.
And Timberview got really hot at the end of the year. I mean, all those teams, I think, could make nice runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mesquite Horn played, they give a lot of offense to a lot of rushing yards to Rockwall Heath, but that's kind of what Rockwall Heath does. But, you know, Mesquite Horn has a pretty, explosive offense. I'm curious to see how they do. And, kind of like our Matt Wixon wrote about, they went through a pretty tough district in order to get that final playoff spot. So I think that they're going to be good going into it. I'm curious to see how Duncanville does. I mean, their defense is pretty solid. Their secondary, they had a sophomore get three picks, kind of happenstance a little bit. But, he made plays when they needed to. Their defensive line, I believe DeSoto coach Todd Peterman told me that that was probably the best defensive line that he's faced this season. So it's curious to see how they do. Trey Siggers is really versatile in their offense. Without Jalen Nelson, that's always a big question mark. But, Duncanville could, if they can run the ball and play good defense, they'll be in any game.
Yeah, we'll have DeSoto coach Todd Peterman on the program later. I like the Duncanville pick. Mesquite Horn, I think, could make a run, but they run into the Woodlands right away.
Good point.
Right.
Stay ranked the Woodlands. So that's tough. I like Duncanville. They got Harker Heights, and then there's it's a tough Division I bracket, especially that region one. But I think if they can get it going here, get the backup quarterback going a little bit, I think they can make a run. Avi, what say you?
It's tough because I haven't studied everybody's path through. So we're only talking about teams that just got in, right?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. What are my options?
Rockwall.
You got Rockwall. I think Rockwall's a good pick. You have Mesquite Horn. You got Duncanville. You got Mansfield Lakeridge. You got Euless Trinity.
Who does Euless Trinity play in the first round?
Maybe Allen?
Some unknown team?
Yeah.
I think Trinity could make it several rounds if they didn't have that unfortunate first round. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Rockwall a lot just because that's a team that went, four rounds deep last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, I think that counts for something is this that you have, some of that pedigree already in you. And I just like good coaching, and I like what Rodney Webb does. I've said that, several times. But he gets the most out of his kids, and I think some of his play calling is just creative enough that it doesn't always matter if you don't necessarily have the most experienced or most talented group on the field. But you also have Sam Crawford, and he can do a lot for you. So I don't know that much about Montgomery, but
neither do I.
That's a vote of confidence for Rockwell.
And not trying to backtrack too much, but going back to Duncanville, one thing I thought that was interesting against Grand Prairie is they used a two-quarterback system in order to replace Jalen Nelson, who and had a season-ending injury 2 weeks ago. So both guys, they had Trayvon Conley, I think his name is, and he's the guy that came in for Nelson. And then Jalen McKinn is the other guy, the other backup quarterback, and he did a lot of you know, zone read option stuff that kind of gave Grand Prairie's defense a little bit of trouble. So I'm curious to see. Maybe it was a little more experimental in the final week of the regular season. But those two, that combination looks like it could kind of make up for some of the things that Nelson, they're missing without Nelson.
You know what's also kind of intriguing is Byron Nelson and Geyer. Geyer's lost one of their big running, I think it was the second leading rusher.
Myron Mason,
in a system that's pretty split pretty evenly as far as carries go. He's gone for at least however long it takes to, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, at least this week, for
and
sure.
And then Byron Nelson's like, all right, do you guys watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
I've seen it. I'm not like
okay,
a huge
so,
fan.
Okay, so, all right. Well, it's really funny, and you're dumb for not watching it. America.
So, just called America dumb. Wow.
No, I'm saying like America, like after you insult somebody for not agreeing with you. Not like comma, but like period. Anyway, so there's like this one episode where Charlie just decides to be the wild card in things, and so he just like jumps out at random points in the episode yelling wild card, and like that's Trophy Club Byron Nelson this year, because it's such like a crapshoot every week. Like I don't know if they're gonna win like a game or not. It's just because I can't decide like where they are like on the spectrum of teams. Like they could very well beat Geyer this week. I have no idea. Like wild card doesn't. Points don't matter. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that was a very roundabout way to get to your point. But
sure, I get your point.
Yeah. That was. Yeah. I mean, they're going to throw the ball. Eli Rush is their quarterback. He's one of the top. He finished the regular season one of the top in the area. Might be number two in 6A. Denton guy, yeah. I mean, I just am concerned about the depth there for Byron Nelson. Obviously, first year under Coach Travis Pride, they start 0-5 and then go on the rally there. Finish 4-6, make the playoffs. So, I mean, good for them. They're a story already. They beat Denton Geyer. They're a huge story all of a sudden.
Right.
So, let's turn to that Allen-U.S. Trinity game, though. So, U.S. Trinity ranked in the top 10. They lose 3 district games, but then they come back, dominate Flower Mound in a must-win game, dominate Flower Mound Markets in a must-win game. And it seems like they've made a few switches. They switched quarterbacks. Their quarterback's now playing linebacker from their quarterback from earlier in the year, which is quite the switch there.
Their quarterbacks often look like linebackers, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so it seems like they're starting to figure out things out. Could this game be closer than I think most people expect it to be here?
I think it will be closer than most people expect it. Trinity, I do not believe, is going to get blown out by Allen. Trinity, yeah, like you mentioned, they lost 3 district games. In those 3 district games, they turned the ball over 10 times. In the last 2 weeks, they didn't turn the ball over, and they just rolled over people because they ran the ball hard. The thing for Trinity that matches up well against Allen is you have to smash mouth with Allen, and not many people can do it. Trinity's going to have a chance to do it because it has, you know, the horses up front. If they can get pressure on Mitchell Jonke, I'm not saying that Mitchell Jonke can't do things when he's under pressure, but if he can stand there and just throw, he's about as accurate as anybody I've seen, and Allen's receivers will kill him. So they have to get pressure on him, which Trinity often can do, and they have to shorten the game with their running game, and that is their strength. So I think they have a real shot to hang in this game, and then, you know, I think that's about all you can ask when you're talking about a team that Allen has won 67 of its last 68 games, something like that. And If you have a team that you feel like you can just hang in there, and they're going to have to hope for a few Allen mistakes, maybe force some too, but I think they could be right there. Allen's going to have to win it, basically. It is not something where they can just roll it out and they're going to win by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. Joe?
I was going to say, is there anything left to be said?
Sorry.
Matt just handled preview, period.
Yeah, that was very well put. I agree. Like, I think this one is going to be a barn burner. Now, I don't trust U.S. Trinity enough just to pick them outright, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won. I really wouldn't. I would be like, oh, it would be an eyebrow raiser, but it wouldn't be like, oh, my God, like Byron Nelson was when they were 0-5 and beat U.S. Trinity.
What stinks for... And this is, like, true in college football, like, if you're playing against, like, a Navy, is that Allen has had no way to prepare for this, like, what U.S. Trinity is about to bring for them. Like, the level of physicality, just, like, if you look at it in their district, I mean, obviously, like, Wiley's, like, I don't know, like, I guess a scrappy team, you could say. But,
sure.
I mean, they haven't faced anything like the level of physicality that Trinity is going to bring, especially, I mean, who's going to fight you like that? Like, you know, Plano East, now it's kind of a spread, you know, kind of nice little offense they got there. And obviously tested them a good amount, but just, like, it, preparing for that style of play, especially coming off, like, a 42-0 win, like, I think that's one of the things, like, Allen and teams like that worry about is that, you know, Guyer and Plano East are the class of that district after Allen, and they're both good. They're, you know, they're pretty good. But, like, if you look at a team like Carroll, you know, that gets to be tested, and if you look at a team like DeSoto and Cedar Hill, you know, that get to be tested somewhat in their district. I don't know. It just, I think that you kind of fear for the teams that, you know, have had to face some not as competitive teams throughout the regular season, and all of a sudden you get to the playoffs and every week is a battle. I mean, in some of these regions, it is unbelievable the teams that you're going to face in round one and round two.
And, you know, and I think Allen and Trinity have played in the playoffs, I believe, four times since, like, 2010. And each year, it was not, it usually wasn't like, hey, here's two powerhouses and they seem real even. It was always like one of them, you're like, well, they're definitely the favorite. And it's always come down to, like, one drive in the third or fourth quarter. I think when you're a powerhouse, when you have that confidence and those skins on the wall, even if it's different players, obviously it is, than years before, you have that confidence. You hang in games and you wait for, you know, somebody to make a big play. And I think Trinity is one of the best-looking 7-3 teams going into the playoffs I've seen in a long time, because they do not throw the ball well, but that's nothing new for Trinity. But they have a lot of playmakers on that offense. Greg Garner, I mean, he's been running the ball really well. And they are a scary team, because as good as Allen is, and I do believe Allen is the best team I've seen in the state this year, they will immediately feel pressure. Because if you don't score on your first drive and then Trinity goes down and scores, or if you make a mistake and suddenly you get down by a touchdown or 10 points, Trinity just, the game gets really short. They start, you know, having these 10-play drives, and they can eat up, you know, they'll just wait on the clock to get down to about 3 seconds, then snap it and get 4 yards on a dive. And all of a sudden, you know, your miraculous season kind of dissolves away quickly.
And the thing with those kind of ball control offenses, you know, kind of like Trinity, is if you can get out and score right away and get early, then you can kind of control the clock. And if that's, you know, if this kind of becomes a, you know, a game where there's two or three possessions that really, you know, matter when you're kind of controlling the ball like that, I mean, you know, a couple things happen, you know, crazy stuff could go down. So we'll see.
Yeah, that is kind of the game of the first round here. We'll talk about more later on in the podcast, but right now, let's talk to a coach who doesn't have to worry about either of those teams. 10-0 DeSoto coach Todd Peterman. Some kind of waiting it out, though, and that last Thursday. Now, Grand Prairie facing Duncanville on that last Thursday, and if Grand Prairie wins, you go D1. If Grand Prairie loses, you go D2. How much were you paying attention to that game once you finished your game?
They were giving updates during the game, so not really. It seems like Duncanville got out early with a big lead and at least a couple touchdowns. And I think the point spread, that they had to win by four, Grand Prairie, seems like. So, you know, not really, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people talk about Division One and Division Two, and they wonder, well, why wouldn't, you know, obviously Allen's number one in the state rankings. You guys are number two. Both you guys are undefeated. So it seems like a natural, hey, what would happen if those two teams played? But the way it goes, I mean, did you have any preference? I know you have a history with Allen. You would certainly love to beat them, but you probably just as much just want to win a state championship. What do you think about the Division II, Division I? Is it sometimes the argument is it's watered down, but there are so many good teams out there. It doesn't seem that way when you get to the state finals.
I agree. You know, if you look at, you know, our first, look at Region I, D2, look at Region 1, D1, as far as the winner of our district goes, I don't know which one's easier, which one's harder first three rounds. You know, you could argue either way. So, you know, I think rounds probably four, five, and six may increase on difficulty. But still, there's no margin for error either way you go.
Coach, it's kind of an interesting difference between, you know, last year going into the playoffs and this year going into the playoffs. Obviously, you guys are rolling this time around, and And, you know, last year you guys had some early bumps in the road, but rebounded and really gave Allen one heck of a memorable game there last year. You know, do you feel like the mentality around your team is any different based on something like experience, based on something like, you know, how you guys coming out in the regular season? Is there just any noticeable difference for you this year as opposed to last year?
There's no question we're more mature, but, you know, the majority of the kids are back from last year. You know, if they've got a year's experience, there's no question we're more disciplined. And I don't think there's any question our special teams are better. So, you know, those three areas I know we've definitely improved on.
Obviously, last year, 6-6, a disappointment at DeSoto. Just how much sort of pressure did you feel in your second year coming in to make – or to, I guess to get DeSoto back to those huge 9-1, 10-0 records?
You know, it's been good. I look back at last year, and of course I'm too young to have been in Vietnam, but the post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, I don't remember much about last year. You know, so many things were going on that, you know, you just worry about one day at a time, and that's really what we're doing this year. We just had a good off season, had a good summer, and got a lot of good kids back.
Coach, what's the difference between a 6-6 team and a 10-0 team, or you know, a team that kind of goes 500 and goes undefeated with like a school at DeSoto? Is it marginal differences, or was there something big that you kind of noticed throughout the season that kind of was a big difference between the two teams?
Well, if you go back and actually look at our 6-6 season, I mean, we were right there with Steele. IMG were up 14 points in the first half and have, you know, two quick turnovers. And, you know, fast forward to this year, you know, you can go to the Mansfield game. We're tied up with them at half. There's a lot of things that have went our way this year that didn't last year. You know, Guyer had a couple bad snaps on punts. And those games, that was a closer game than 51-17. You know, our game Friday with South Grand Prairie wasn't quite as close as the score show. You know, so the difference is winning those games and that, you know, we probably would have lost that South Grand Prairie game last year. You know, it's just the way it goes. We had a chance to go up, I don't know, a few touchdowns, three, I guess, when KD drops the pass. And, you know, he doesn't drop many. So it's just one of those things that could have been a blowout that it wasn't. We've had them when it shouldn't have been a blowout this year, and it has. So it's just nice when things are going your way and you're winning, and it's, you know, things not going your way and you're still winning. But the key is the kids staying consistent, even in the games where we're just quite a bit better, to be honest with you, than our opponent. You know, in years past, we've racked up the penalties and done some things. This year we've had three personal fouls. You know, one of those are mine. I got one first time. Not sure I earned it, but I got it. So, you know, that's we greatly reduced some of those things last year, and this year we've reduced them even more. And I think that'll give us a chance, you know, in those tight playoff games that are soon to come.
Coach, I was watching y'all play against South Grand Prairie this past week on ESPN2, and one of the things that really jumped out to me kind of immediately was, my God, man, your offensive line is something else. I mean, y'all are basically playing with a Division I offensive line down there. You know, obviously, Sean is a tremendous athlete, a great leader, but, you know, he's going to get the stats. But just how important has that O-line been to y'all's success this season?
Extremely important. You know, the four of them are seniors. Three of them started last year and have, you know, made big improvements, and they're really young seniors. Those are 17-year-olds. So last year when we were going through it, they were 16-year-olds. They just looked like 20-year-olds. But they're very mature kids, and that enjoy playing football and have worked real hard. So it makes a huge difference. And, you know, we didn't have them for our scrimmage in the first three games this year. I think a lot of people forget about that. We didn't have those kids when we played Guyer, either tackle. Started. They were out for a whole month. We didn't have them against Middle High. We didn't have them against Jesuit. So we're just now kind of expanding what we do offensively because, you know, we got a month behind.
Just want to change topics a bit. A few weeks ago, Matt wrote a story about Catapult and all the technology that you guys use And I'm just curious, as a coach, like, what is it first like when you have all this data kind of thrown at you and they're, you're just trying to kind of figure out what's going on?
Well, I'm a math guy. You know, I taught math for 20 years, so I wasn't overwhelmed with the data, and I didn't want our coaches to be. So we have one of our wide receiver coaches that he no longer coaches, but he still teaches. And so I had him kind of really look at the data and go over it. So he would break the data down into basically dummy sheets for us. So it's not like it required a whole lot of extra of our time to look at it, you know, and try to decipher what's going on. And at the end of the day, all I want to know is, are our kids healthy? Are they running fast on Friday? And if they're not healthy, why? You know, if it's a knee injury, I can understand. If it's a soft tissue injury, those are preventable by nutrition and how we're training the kids, nutrition, hydration, and training. So in that case, I know we're a little over 80% reduction at this point. Wow. And, you know, that's all I need to know right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth the money.
Well, I don't want to get you in trouble as to ask you, like, to handicap Division II and all your opponents coming up and all that. And I know you're busy, so you can actually back out of this question if you want. But I thought I'd ask you if you could handicap or give us a few favorites from Division I, 6A Division I, because you won't have to face them. What do you see from that? And if you haven't even had a chance to look at it, I could understand.
Well, I don't know how you can go against Allen. You know, at any time, I really believe Duncanville have a great run. You know, from what I looked at, I think they've got a nice road to round four. You know, never can count out Trinity. I don't care if they're 7-3 or not. They're well coached and they're Trinity. They're going to find a way. You know, I'm going to tell you what, South Grand Prairie has a really good defense. Really good defense. So, There's no telling. Obviously, I'm biased towards our district guys, but, you know, I wouldn't bet against Allen either.
Right.
So I think it's a heck of a deal. You know, under Midland High's a really good football team as well. And so when you get into them with the playoffs, are they going to flip and want to go home and home? You know, if I'm Midland High, I'm taking that chance.
Right.
You know, I've worked out in Midland. I won't flip. You know, for home and home. And
right.
So what? They're used to traveling, you know, and yeah, they have to go out there. It is. You better have traveled before and know how to handle it. You know, we didn't handle it very well when we went out there, and I've done it a lot. So we had a bus that broke down and it cost us about an hour. So, you know, things can come up when you take, you know, 100 kids and 35 support staff, you know, 6 hours away. So I think it's wide open. You know, the thing about playing Trinity is not, you know, obviously it's a difficult game, but it's how you recover the next week as well, because you're going to get hit.
Right.
And obviously we've played them, I don't know, 3 or 4 times since I've been here, and the next week's tough, you know.
You guys get Killeen in the first round, and I'm just kind of wondering what the process is like of scouting an opponent that, you know, is out of the DFW area. You know, once you guys basically learn who you're playing, kind of what's the next step?
Well, we've been scouting really for 10 weeks. You know, we have a freshman coach who actually owns a home in Belton. So we've been scouting for 10 weeks. We have another coach that he doesn't coach anymore, but used to be our offensive line coach, Kelly Spiller, and he lives in Georgetown. So we've had guys out on Colvin Killeen since, really, even Harker Hyatt since week one.
Wow.
That's impressive. Well,
that is intense.
You have quite a network out there. That's good.
Fortunate.
Do you have a spy?
So we're definitely not looking past week one, I can promise you.
Right.
So there's somebody in our room right now that you have here scouting us.
Yeah.
Just let us know now.
I think you guys are safe.
All right, that's good. Sure. We'll look forward to the game against Killeen here, and good luck on Friday there.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Thanks again to DeSoto coach Todd Peterman. Quite the scouting network.
Yes.
that was amazing.
I love that.
You know, it's like a social media thing.
It's like with anything. Yeah, you got a network, and if you can get these advantages, you don't find those things.
Man, Pierman's LinkedIn is popping off.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the 500-plus connections.
Oh, they stopped counting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on into kind of another look ahead. I guess we spent the whole first segment kind of looking ahead, but the Nobody Believes in Us game is ending. It kind of petered out after a strong start. I will take home the championship with 6 points. I wanted to get
it's always
win.
Good to end it when you're leading.
Yeah.
What do you win?
Just the pride and the respect of everyone who listens to the podcast, really. Just a special shout out to Corbett, who came and picked Terrell over Van last weekend. So he got 2 points there.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who won that game.
And yeah, so good for Corbett to finish in a tie for second there after playing for 1 week.
Right.
Let's move on to the playoffs and let's look at kind of a similar type of game, but we'll kind of switch it up. So I'm taking all the district champions out of this. Out of all the kind of runner-ups in 6A, Division 1, Division 2, 5A, Division 1, Division 2, which team do you think has the best chance to make the deepest run here?
Okay, I've got. I'll start with Mansfield Legacy.
Okay,
because I think 10-5A is one of the best 5A districts I've ever seen, and so any of those teams could have been a district champion in many other districts, and they were really close. I don't remember exactly. They lost to Lancaster. I know that, and I think Lancaster could win 5A Division II, and so Lake Ridge. Legacy or Lake Ridge, frankly. Legacy is just a notch below Lancaster, basically, in my estimation. And I think they're really good. They're the kind of team that just every week they're going to match up well against people and they're going to be really tough to take out.
Avi?
God, I'm going to hate myself for this, but then again, I do for many things.
Confession.
I'm looking at. It's kind of a tough district, but I kind of am looking at Rowlett, which is intriguing. Coppell's a tough draw in the first round, but and it's very hard. Let me just say this. It's very hard with some of these Garland schools because it is such a top-heavy district. You have Sachse, you have Rowlett, you have Lakeview Centennial, and Naaman had a great season, don't get me wrong, but there's just not as much depth there. So sometimes it's hard to like judge. Like Sachse is 10-0. I don't know how good Sachse is. I don't. You know, I mean, they're a good team, but how good are they for the playoffs? I don't think anybody can confidently say, you know, how many rounds deep they're going to go. So I do like the way Rowlett plays. It's intriguing to me. And it's kind of like a lot of these middle-of-the-road teams. You know, if you look at the top half of Region 2 there, Coppell's going to be tough. And then it's Rockwall versus Montgomery. It's Round Rock versus Del Valle. Klein Oak versus Aldine Davis. And those are the first four matchups. Now, it's very possible there's one of those out-of-area teams that everybody's like, oh, you didn't know they were, you know, freaking amazing? It's like, no, I don't, because I don't do a very good job of keeping track of the entire state throughout 11 weeks of high school football.
Like Coach Peterman.
Like,
right.
Well,
yeah,
like
you don't have his network.
He's got the scouting report on all those teams.
Right, or Matt Stepp. So,
shout out to Matt Stepp.
Yeah, so a friend of the program. So yeah, I don't know. I like Rowlett in a very balanced Region 1 where I think somebody could emerge and do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it. They got Coppell, and then the winner of Rockwall Montgomery. If Rockwall wins that game, Rowlett has already beaten Rockwall this year in a very close game, though.
Right.
And then I do think that third round matchup would be quite a bit weaker than some of the other regions.
Like I want to say Klein Oak's good, but I'm not completely sure. I don't know.
Like Klein Oak needed to win in the finals. I think Round Rock would be the best team out of those four there.
This is where we show that DFW bias.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're paid to do. But I do think if Rowlett can get past those first two, they could definitely make
the
a run.
The bottom half of that region's a buzzsaw. Sachse, Skyline, the Woodlands, Mesquite Horn, Austin Bowie, Pflugerville Hendrickson, Spring Klein.
Yeah.
Like that's I don't know, that's tough as heck.
Yeah, I think out of those, you got to say the Woodlands is the favorite in that region right now.
Right, and it's like Sachse's going to go out in the second round after going undefeated.
Well, yeah. And I mean, well, that's happened before, not only to Sachse, but to some other teams like that. But the thing with Sachse is their defense is as legit as any Sachse defense has ever been. Well, they haven't had a lot of defense in some years, but that is a really good defense, a very solid defense, and they can score like crazy. With Maiden at quarterback and lots of weapons at receiver. So I think by the Sachse Woodlands potential second round game could be really, really good.
Isn't the Woodlands a run heavy team? Or am I misremembering that.
I don't want to say anything that's wrong, okay. So I'm going to decline a comment.
Hey, we'll edit this out in post. Don't worry.
Yeah. Joe, do you have a pick?
I'm going to kind of piggyback on what Matt said. I think Mansfield Legacy. I've been on the Legacy hype because I picked them over Hatchie. There you go. A little humble brag there.
Oh, yeah. That was a good pick. I remember
that. At the time. That was my nobody believes in us pick.
It was. That's how you got your point.
Now we all believe in them. Yeah. They have swept the nation.
That is the beauty of the nobody believes in us game. But, no, I think they're really good and kind of just what Matt was talking about. They can match with anyone. They gave Alito a pretty tough game as well. Mm-hmm. They hung out with them. You know, the whole – I think they're, like Matt was saying, they're a notch below. Also, piggybacking on Coach Peterman, I think Duncanville, you know, if they can get past – kind of like what I was saying earlier, you know, if you can run the ball and play good defense, you're going to be in a lot of games. And I think that with the two quarterback system they're going to run and some of the weapons they have on the outside in Isaiah Upshaw and Trey Siggers, guys like that, I think that they're going to be able to get some points on the board as well. And their defense, I think, is pretty top-notch. So they're a team that could surprise after barely sneaking into the playoffs.
They would get winner of Plano East Hebron if they get past the first round. So
yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you, as you said, if they figure out that quarterback situation – that is kind of a good region for them because if they beat Harker Heights, they get the winner of Plano East Hebron, and then they have the other four in that kind of pod. There is El Paso, El Dorado, Midland, who Coach Peterman talked about, Arlington Bowie,
the doctor from Midland,
exactly, Arlington Bowie, and Keller Central. So I think Duncanville, I think, would put a game to all those teams. So it's very possible they go 3-4 rounds deep. I'm gonna go kind of way deep in terms of seeding, but it's not really that deep. Team we talked about before, Mansfield Lakeridge.
Okay,
just got into the playoffs, so they have Crowley in the first round. They beat Crowley, they get a DISD team, either Samuel or Molina.
It is a very good setup for them.
And then it would get interesting with Highland Park, who just lost to Wiley East. Maybe something. Mansfield Lakeridge can take from that Wiley East game that Wiley East did to Highland Park. And then after that, in that fourth round or fifth round, the regional final would be Texarkana, Texas, which has been rolling all season. So that'd be tough. But that is my pick. On the flip side, we talked about it. It is 6A Region 1. Do you think that might be the Yeah, it would be Region 1 with Allen, U.S. Trinity.
Division 1, Region 1.
Is that the toughest region, you think?
Nah, bro.
Who?
You got South Lake Carroll versus DeSoto in Round 2, son.
Oh, 6A Division 2, Region 2.
Yeah, man. If you get DeSoto, South Lake Carroll in the second round, that's crazy banana pants.
That would be good. Who else is in that region, Avi? Do you have it up?
The Woodlands.
You get Guyer, you get Mansfield. You get Cedar Hill, you get Waco.
Sorry. That's Division One, the Woodlands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the heavy here is South Lake Carroll, DeSoto, Mansfield, Guyer, Cedar Hill. That's ridiculous.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, because Mansfield, we're not talking about Mansfield, and they love it. Oh man, they're just waiting in the weeds because they know that if they're in a conversation with number one area or number two area ranked DeSoto, number three area ranked South Lake Carroll, and number four area ranked Cedar Hill. Am I correct in these?
No,
Cedar
Hill. Cedar Hill's fifth by 1 point to Sachse.
Okay, yeah. Still, you have 2, 3, and 5 all in the same one. And Mansfield has been wrecking. I mean, that's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So they get Fossil Ridge in the first round, and then they kind of get El Paso, Montwood, or Tascosa in the second, which Tascosa gave a game to Ryan on a Sunday or Monday or whatever the hell heck it was last year. That's murderer's row. That's real tough.
I think they're gonna have. I think the Fossil Ridge game actually though, and this week is gonna be pretty tough for them as well. But
wrong.
That's fine.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Avi, guaranteeing victory.
Kennedy Brooks. This is his last go around. Hell hath no fury like an angry Kennedy Brooks.
Is he gonna run it 45 times in the game?
we'll see how long the wheels stay on.
Yeah, I do like 6A Division One. Region 1, though, because you have Allen, you have U.S. Trinity just in that first game, and then there's a good South Grand Prairie team.
Right.
There's San Angelo Central.
Another
Allen, San
team.
Angelo Central in the third round could
Bull.
Be huge.
Jim Ross voice.
You got to figure they would flip for that game. So one of those teams would get a crazy home game.
I wish they could play a Cowboys team.
Crazy fans. But I just looking at it now, it probably doesn't have quite the depth that they that the other 6A Division II Region II has. The upper pod we sort of talked about already with Duncanville, Harker Heights, Plano East Hebron, Bowie, Keller Central, El Dorado, Midland. So, yeah, I mean, just kind of analyzing it, I would have to agree with Avi that 6A.
The pain in division, your voice is like
begrudgingly.
I was trying to make an argument, and then I just thought about it, and I was like, oh, he's probably right.
Some of these, I will say, the parity in 5A is pretty awesome. Like, if you look at some of these and you're just like, this could go any way. You know, I think Denton Ryan could just plow through a lot of that. But but still, in, you know, some of these other regions, it's really competitive.
Yeah, 5A has really had four teams kind of at the top all year with Manville, Cedar Park, Denton Ryan, and Aledo. Denton Ryan and Aledo in different divisions. Manville and Cedar Park, I believe Cedar Park's D1.
I can look it up.
Look it up. And then you have, but those four teams have been undefeated. I think you could throw in Richmond Foster as well. They're number 5 in the state. So it's a lot. I think there's a lot at the top in those later rounds that could be like huge monumental matchups where maybe you don't have it as much in the
Cedar Park's in Region 3 of Division 1.
Yeah, so there you go. They could meet Denton Ryan in the state final. So I think those final games would be huge.
Huge.
But maybe not as much leading up to it. But, I mean, we shall see. Lot to go, lot to talk about. Special shout-out to Joe Hoyt. Last pod.
Jumping Joe. He's jumping,
jumping
ship.
Jumping ship.
Just when the times get tough.
Yeah, going.
That's a real Chip Kelly move.
He's going to cover Iowa State for the Ames Tribune, so follow him for all your Iowa State coverage. Mm-hmm.
Or don't follow me now that I'm leaving Texas high school football, you know.
But I will say this, which is I'll see if it has the effect on you. I've talked to like people who used to cover Texas high school football, and then they go on to other endeavors, and they said they'll always like follow those people and be like pretty interested in what's going on because it's its own little league.
You know, some of the storylines and the characters. And
yeah, yeah. Like, I still keep track of some of the teams I used to cover, like, in Southeast Texas just because you know the storylines and you're, like, you're curious. It's like, oh, is such and such going to beat so and so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so for me, for Matt, for Avi, for Joe, go follow @SportsDayHS on Twitter, facebook.com/SportsDayHS. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Hit the subscribe
button.
For the
love of God.
It will go straight to your phone, your podcasting device, your iPad, your computer, all that good stuff. Snapchat, SportsDayHS, why not? And we'll see you Friday night.